will call the Tuesday, January 20th, 2025, Yorkville City Council meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. And we always start with a pledge. Mike, have you led us in the pledge
yet? But I'll do it again.
Do it again.
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very nice. Welcome, everyone. Okay. Now we have the all-important roll call.
Koch.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser. Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Cornelius.
Here.
We have a quorum.
And Mr. Cornelius is Zooming for work reasons, so we do have a quorum. Okay, I have no amendments to the agenda. We're starting out. We have a couple presentations. We have a new employee, and we also have a person who got a promotion, but we're going to start with Christy. Are you handling this?
Where
are you?
I am.
Excellent. We have David Hansen here, and Christy, remember, talk into the microphone.
I am. Do you want me to come out front?
Whatever you're more comfortable with.
Sure, I'll come out.
Excellent.
David, did you want to come up?
Sure.
So we're excited to welcome David Hansen. He is our new senior planner, so he rounds out the planning department with a total of three. He is working with Sarah Mendez, who is our planner one. David comes from a solid background in urban planning and local government. He's worked as the village planner for North Aurora, and he's tackled everything from zoning reviews to GIS and everything between. So he is pursuing his planning career after getting a master's in public administration. So we're excited to have David join us, and just wanted to welcome to the community.
Welcome. Yeah. Chris, oh wait, I got to talk to the microphone. Christy will keep it really busy. Was that good, Bart, talking to the mic like that?
All right, thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks, David.
You'll be in a lot of meetings, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Or will you still go on? We'll make it up.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to take an opportunity to thank all of you for allowing me to create this position. Introducing the Assistant Director of Public Works is something that I've looked forward to for a long time, and I just wanted to take an opportunity to thank you. John Sleaser has worked for the city. Come on up, John. And he's worked for the city for almost 30 full years now. So he started 90 days after me, and I believe we started for $9.50 an hour, if I remember correctly. John's a lifelong resident of Yorkville, and he's been in charge of our street department since 2000, and now moves into this position at the end of this year, I believe it was, last year.
2024.
Yeah, the end of 2024. John's been committed to the city for, I call him at 2 a.m, I call him at 8 a.m. On Sunday, we have worked together so long, we finish each other's sentences now. It's been it's been a great run. And I'm proud to have you, proud to introduce you as the Assistant Public Works Director. So thank you very much and congratulations.
So have you been working with the city since longer than I've been alive? Did I hear that?
Yeah.
That's why. Oh, okay.
It's kind of hard when you graduated high school before us.
I was just very precocious. And you know, Eric, I barely graduated high school, too.
Makes sense. Yes.
And find out, it is true. I found out the day of my health final, I failed health class once, almost twice. You got to show up to pass, even back then. Okay, that's awesome. So thank you and welcome. Public hearings. We don't have any public hearings tonight, do we?
We do not.
Okay. Do I have any citizens who would like to comment on an item on the agenda? If you have an item on the agenda you'd like to comment on, please step forward, state your name. And if it's an item not on the agenda, you can wait until the end of the meeting. We have another opportunity.
Hi, Mike Kremsky. I'd just like to make a brief comment on something on the agenda, petition 2430. which is Amend Solar Farm. And I come tonight just to kind of bring you up to speed, if you don't already know, on what's happening in the community. Kendall Township voted against this at their last meeting. And then recently, at the Regional Planning Commission of the county, they voted against this also. So I'd just like to kind of bring those points to this board, that there's people within Kendall Township that aren't really enthusiastic about seeing this come in, just that not something we want to have in the community and lose that valuable farmland that we can't replace once they're there. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else like to speak to anything on the agenda? Please, just state your name and speak into the microphone, please.
Good evening. My name's John Vos. I'm in Heartland Circle. I'm just commenting quickly on the Costco development. We're in Heartland Circle, and really our only access to 34 is on McHugh. So anything that affects 34 and McHugh is going to affect us directly with traffic, which is very concerning to us. The second item that is a concern is myself and my neighbors access that walking path constantly. And as it stands now, getting across 34 is always a crapshoot as it is going with the lights. With all that additional traffic, I just want to make sure that there's adequate safety concerns put into the crossings now. There's going to be a lot more cars, a lot more traffic, and I just like to see mitigation before someone gets hurt, not after. The last thing that I'd like to discuss is the gas station. I mean, the 40 pumps is quite a bit, the 70 is overkill. I just think that's too much for a 34-acre site. And the 980 parking places when the city allows for 387, I mean, that just tells you how much traffic is anticipated there. So just remember that us south of 34, you know, are affected directly by this, and we'd just like to make sure that you guys are all aware of our concerns and address them accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak to anything on the agenda? No? Okay. Next, we have the consent agenda. We have bills totaling $3,534,821.08. We have the water reports for August 24 through December 24. We have a resolution approving a change order relating to the 2024 local road program. And that actually, does that lower the final amount? Oh, sorry.
Yes.
By about 30 grand?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. We like those. Next, we have 2506, resolution authorizing the release of a performance guarantee bond related to Grand Reserve Unit 20. And we've got the sidewalks accommodated for, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. That's a learning. That was part of our learning curve here. Next, we have an ordinance amending the traffic schedule and index for, that's for Grand Reserve, right? And for Matlock Drive and Berrywood Lane. And that, is that a, how many way stop sign is that?
Just one. Berrywood will be the only one that stops.
Okay, thank you. Oh, that's it. I'm looking for a motion and a second for all those items.
So moved.
Second.
Seaver, Plocher, and Seaver, good to see you back.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. Like Mr. Cotter, welcome back. Anyone remember that TV show? That was a great TV show. Vinnie Barbarino.
You remember that being only 30 years old?
Reruns. Okay. TV Land, buddy. TV Land. Okay.
Point taken.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have item 2505, a fireworks display contract. I'm looking for this two motions. And this is for the 4th of July fireworks. A resolution authorizing a contract with Mad Bomber Fireworks Production for the purchase of fireworks for a city-sponsored fireworks display.
So we have this group together.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I lied. So, and also part of that motion is an ordinance authorizing the 4th Amendment to the annual budget of the United City of Yorkville for the fiscal year commencing May 1st, 2024 and ending April 30th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Transier, was it? No, the sound travels quicker. And I didn't ask. I didn't have to ask if you voted yes or no on that one, okay? Don't make fun of my hearing just yet. Any questions or comments on this one? Yes.
So this is for one show for the year. And are we going to be going back out to bid for this in for the following years?
I doubt we will next year, because next year is the 250th, so what is that, the bicentennial and a half?
Yes.
And he's, Tim's already said they're getting all kinds of requests, so we'll probably use the same firm again.
Okay.
And tie them up right away so we can, maybe next, the following year, but
next year probably something.
Yeah, we just, yeah, we're going to, okay. We're looking to do something more exciting next year. Not that these aren't exciting, but even more exciting.
And we're just doing the one show this year.
Probably. We're talking about
it. I just wanted to make sure we secured the 4th of July. It's working harder and harder with these companies to ensure that we can get them. So, as I put in the memo, Chris, last time we went out to bid, this was the only company to do it. So,
and to answer your question, on the, we may do a second one, but we still have time to discuss that. And there's not a big demand for Christmas, Thanksgiving time fireworks, so we're not going to be competing with other towns. Good questions. Anyone else? Who made the motion a second?
American Transit.
Sweet. Okay, roll call, please.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Oh, and we did add a few more shells this year, too, didn't we, Tim?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, not a ton. Part of it was inflation, but we did add a few more shells. So I feel like last year's, this year's will be pretty kick butt, too. Okay. Next, we have appointment to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'm looking for a motion and a second to appoint Chad Green.
So moved.
I heard Koch and Plocher, I believe. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Christy, I trust you'll notify him. I didn't see him here. Maybe he's here. I missed him. I told him he didn't need me here. So. Okay. Next item is a discussion only item. We're not going to vote on it tonight. The resolution approving sales tax revenue sharing agreement. Oh, I like that. The revenue sharing agreement with Costco Wholesale Corporation. Bart?
Yeah, so the incentive agreement was not available at time of packet creation. Costco's representatives and our staff are still working through some final pieces of language on different sections of the agreement. None of the final pieces of language have any impact on the overall terms of the agreement, which I'll give everybody a summary of now in advance of the land use agenda item later on. So I would anticipate that the incentive agreement will be complete and ready to be voted on February 11th City Council meeting. But obviously that depends on, mutual cooperation with the Costco representatives and, you know, final agreement on the language. So in general, the incentive agreement will be a sales tax sharing agreement to be generated from Costco's own sales. For the first 6 years of the agreement, we anticipate to share 0.75% out of the city's regular sales tax of 1% for the first 6 years of the agreement. And then after that, for the next 14 years, we would share 0.5% of our normal city sales tax of 1%, so for a total term of 20 years. That incentive goes away and is capped out at a total of $10 million in total incentive over the life of the agreement. If that total incentive is not met at the end of the 20 years, the agreement does extend for another 10 years after that. So our staff estimate, based on publicly available sales data from Costco, is that the total incentive will be reached sometime between year 10 and year 20. Costco does not warrant that estimate and would not, you know, participate in, you know, that estimate here publicly. Just to give you an idea of other sales tax sharing incentives the city councils have done over the past couple decades, Menards was given more than $8 million in the year 2002 for two different pots of money related to different pieces of infrastructure that they completed on our behalf. One of which was a pot of about $2.6 million that had a 10-year term, And I believe that was fully satisfied before the end of the 10-year term. And $5.98 million of that was open-ended, and we're still actually paying it off some 20 years later. So we've got a couple more years on that, we think, going forward. Jewel was given $3.2 million in the early 2000s for some infrastructure on and near their site, and that was also open-ended, but that was paid off, I believe, in about 10 to 12 years, if I remember correctly. And then Kendall Marketplace, so where Kohl's, Target, Home Depot is located, did have a larger development incentive agreement that had three components to it, an SSA, which is paid by the retailers and the landowners in the center, a business district sales tax sharing, and then there was a normal sales tax sharing of 0.5% of the sales tax, for 20 years, basically. So at the time, the city council actually authorized some debt to help develop the property at that time. So they issued over $15 million in debt to pay for infrastructure within the Kendall Marketplace subdivision. And we've paid back about $7.5 million of that, or just shy of that, so far, in the last 14, 15 years. So that term is 20 years, and we'll see what happens at the end of that. That is non-guaranteed debt, as we review every year we go through our audit. So with that, just wanted to make sure that the highlights of the agreement were publicly available before we considered the land use, so that there wasn't a question in a couple weeks from now when the incentive agreement comes in front of you. Happy to answer any questions from anybody if they have any.
Questions, anyone? Mr. Funkhauser?
When you were going through some of the other incentives, you mentioned they were infrastructure, utility, some of those. This is just for their own development, return on their investment. No, there's nothing specific that they need to do infrastructure-wise for this one, okay?
Correct.
All right. Have we had any type of revenue projections on what we would see for our sales tax based on publicly available data?
So based on publicly available data, we would anticipate several hundred thousand dollars of sales tax revenue to be generated from the store if they meet their annual sales averages based on those publicly available data, which would be one of our better sales tax generators in the city.
And then is this the only one, I'm going through the ones you mentioned, is this the only one that would exceed 20 years?
Well, there's a couple that are open-ended.
They're
so,
just open-ended,
yeah.
Okay, until they reach their cap that they had required.
Correct.
So this one could be shorter than that, but they're looking for 30 total. Okay.
Other questions? And again, the goal is to have this ready for vote in 2 weeks.
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Public Works Committee report. Ooh, we have several items on there. Let's turn it over.
Items. Okay, item number one, PW 2025-07, resolution authorizing the purchase of 500 replacement water meters in an amount not to exceed $130,000.
Is there a second?
Second.
That's Solon. And just quickly, Eric, after this, we have roughly how many more to get onto the new ones or get all the homes on the new ones?
4,000.
So we still have several thousand to go? Okay. But this is catching us up, helping us catch up.
This will help us catch up, and it'll save us money by doing it ourselves.
Perfect. Questions, comments? Roll call.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Motion carries.
And Eric, I should have mentioned also, not only are these needed because many of these are 15 years old?
15 to 20.
We also need to get more accurate water meters for the Lake Michigan Water Project. Is
absolutely
that correct?
I think this will help us get under our 10% non-revenue cap that they set on us.
And for the public here, that 10% number he's looking at is if we have 1,000 gallons we take in, we got a bill for 900 of those gallons,
correct,
essentially. And right now we're not at the number. We're getting closer, but we're not there yet. Okay, thank you, Mr. Koch. Continue.
Item two, PW 2025-09, It's a motion to approve a resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated, parentheses, Route 47 utility relocation, and that's for Carpenter Street to Water Park Way, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Thank you. Barb, anything you want to say about this one?
This is just for design of a utility relocation to be done in advance of Route 47 expansion at a time yet to be determined.
It's in the five-year plan, though, right? And it has been for a couple of years already.
Yes.
So it's getting closer. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 3, PW 2025-10. A motion to approve resolution approving an engineering agreement with Engineering Enterprises Incorporated, that parentheses Whispering Meadows Storm Sewer Design and Engineering Agreement, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Second by Merrick. This is for Matt. That's for your subdivision, right?
I was going to read the motion, but Ken didn't want me.
Ken, and I apologize. Congratulations, your Buckeyes.
Oh, thank you.
They had to follow behind Michigan. I understand that. Anyway, so they put the beat down on everyone this year.
Except Michigan.
Except for Michigan, that's true. So this is, anyway, for Whispering Meadows. These are dollars from the settlement that we reached in, what was it, July or something like that? August, sometime last year. So this is some much needed infrastructure improvement. Thank you. Questions, comments? Roll call.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Koch?
Nope, that would be it.
Economic development, public safety,
no report.
Admin,
no report.
Park board.
It's not really a park board report, but the library mini golf event is this Sunday.
Yeah.
From 10 to 4 a.m. at the library. It's $5 per golfer.
And that's grown and grown and grown.
Yeah, very much so over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And did I hear they got their chiller put in recently?
I haven't seen an update on that.
Yeah, yet, so I thought
he's supposed to be in.
I think when I was talking to Shelley, I knew.
Yeah, I thought I heard that today. So 6 years later, but we got it in. Or maybe 16 years, I don't know. But anyway, that's fantastic. Anything else?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Planning and Zoning Commission. Oh, this is me again.
We were going to table the first one.
Oh, yeah, the first one's getting tabled. Thank you very much. Okay, so item PZC 2430 and EDC 2507. Kendall County Petition 2430, mile and a half review. We had some errors in our packet, and I didn't catch those. I apologize. So I'm asking that we table this until the next meeting. Is that okay? Mr. Koch, is that a motion? Second by Solon. I see you shake your head. Roll call, please.
Merrick.
Yeah.
Weisted.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have PZC 2433 and EDC 2510. There's A, B, and C. There are three separate motions. But before we do those, I think we have a presentation. And who's doing that? Are you doing it or?
Costco representatives.
Oh, okay.
They'll step up to the podium.
Sweet. Just state your names, please. One of you is Larry, right?
It's him over there.
I don't know how to pronounce your last name at all.
I'll pronounce it.
It's not Johnson or anything like that, or Smith.
My name is a lot easier. Good evening. My name is Steve Cross. I am Costco's Real Estate Development Director, and my address is 1955 Raymond Drive in Northbrook. So we're very happy to be here after many months of work with staff and our team as we've crafted this plan for this project at the corner of McHugh and Veterans Parkway there. It's always exciting to reach this point in the process where we come before elected officials such as yourself to make the final determination as we continue to move forward with the building permit process and start to hardline all the dates and get things lined up. So it's a very exciting point in any kind of project like this. So I have with me tonight the team, and we have Larry Jurjic is his name. He's our Costco real estate representative as well. We have Dan Free is our civil engineer and with V3. Peter Reinhofer is our traffic engineer with V3. And then online we have Risa Yuki, who's our architect, the national architect for Costco. She's sitting out there in Seattle, sunny Seattle. And we also have Amanda Falter, who's with Kimley Horn, who's our landscape architect. You'll be excited to know that we're not going to put everybody up here. We're going to try to keep the presentation brief and to the point. So I'm actually going to turn it over now to Larry Jurjic to take the presentation from there.
I'm excited to hear about the brief and to the point.
But we are here for questions.
That's what we're
hoping for. That's why we bring everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Steve. So for the record, Larry Jurjic, and I'll spell my last name, D-Z-I-U-R-D-Z-I-K. It's a nice Irish name.
What's that?
Nice Irish name.
Oh, I was going to say Irish or Croatian or something like that.
It's Polish. It's Polish.
Polish, okay, that makes sense.
Right. So as Steve mentioned, we do have a short presentation for you tonight. It's basically sort of the same presentation we gave to the plan commission. I removed some slides, and as Steve mentioned, not all of us will be speaking tonight. So Art, I understand you're going to be running the slideshow. So Steve went through our development team. We have a very talented team. So let's start with this slide here with the property location. I think everybody's aware of where the location of the property is. We really like this property given the exposure or the frontage along Veterans Parkway as well as Countryside and McHugh. And when I get into the site plan, I'll talk more about the access and the driveways and the curb cuts, how that works. Probably most of you know or may not know, but this is part of a larger plan unit development called Yorkville Crossing PUD. So this is 33 acres of a larger PUD of about 242 acres. So we're asking for a couple things from you tonight. We're asking for a plan unit development amendment to incorporate a proposed site plan with some deviations, which I'll go through. We're also asking for a special use authorization for a gas facility at the southwest corner of the site. And we're also asking for a final plat of subdivision approval. I think everyone's familiar with the traffic signals and the roadway. So why don't we go to the next slide? So we are under contract with Jodo Land Holding LLC for 33.14 acres. As I mentioned to you, we're asking for your approval tonight to amend the Yorkville Crossing Plan Unit Development, a special use authorization for the gas facility, and final plat approval. Next slide. So I'll run through these. These are five deviations that we're requesting to in order to construct and build our facility. One is to exceed the maximum parking requirements of 386. We're looking at 956 total. Relief from putting in the infrastructure for EV stalls. And there was some confusion at the Plan Commission in terms of what this requirement really is. And it's not the actual EV charging station. It's just the underground conduit that we're asking relief for. And that's underground conduit for approximately 8 stalls, I believe is what would be required here. We're looking at increasing the pole height slightly from your ordinance, from 35 to 36.6. That's given our parking spacing, our layout. Costco has certain standards for light levels, and that height is ordered to achieve those certain standards. The code required 35 feet. That would require more poles, closer spacing. It's been proven with Costco sites that 36.6 is the correct pole height for our use. We're asking for some relief from the foundation landscaping on the east and west sides of the building, as well as some interior parking lot islands as well. We have one of the barrier islands, for example, is a pedestrian crossing, a walkway, so we can't plant in there. And I'll point that out on the site plan. So that's included in this relief. And then number five is relief from the minimum masonry requirements for the building. Risa Yuki, our architect, will get into the character and the building and so we'll address number five at that time. So why don't we get into the site plan? The site plan is platted for three lots. Lot one is a Costco-like lot that's approximately 26 acres. So we have Costco in the center of the site, and that includes our gas facility. That's lot one. We also have 7 acres of outlots along 34 that's divided by a main roadway from Veterans Parkway. And the reason why we're planning it this way is this is future retail development. It's individual developers can come in and replat based on what their size requirement may be, 1 acre or 2 acre. So we're looking at larger pieces planted for today. By moving the building to the center of the site, that sets up a real nice parking area on the south side of the building and on the east side of the building. As I mentioned, we have 855 proposed parking spaces with the ability to add about 101 parking spaces for a total of 956. Most Costco's that we're looking at today throughout the country, anywhere between 850 to 950. In fact, we just heard there's a couple on the West Coast that are 1,000 parking spaces. So we're right there. We're very happy with how the parking lays out. We like the access. The entry of the building is at the southeast corner of the building, and it's got this direction towards the Veterans and Countryside Parkway, and our parking would wrap around and embrace that corner. Loading is at the southwest corner of the property, and that loading is going to be accessible from two full access points on McHugh. We have two full access driveways on the north for loading and truck. We also have three along Countryside Parkway with a right in, right out in the south, and two full access there. All these access points will involve some road improvements in the center median parkway along Countryside and some striping improvements on McHugh. We are proposing a three-quarter access at Tuma and 34. Originally, we had a full access. We went back. We looked at it. We're now not allowing left turns out of that access, so that you could have a left turn in, and a right out at that entrance there. The gas facility, we like that southwest corner. There's some real estate there with the ability to expand the facility. There was some public comment that I would like to correct. We're not providing 72 pumps, we're providing 16 pumps. 4x4 layout. So 32 dispensers. So one pump with two dispensers on either side. So we're providing 32 pump dispensers.
32 hoses, basically.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, right. So I think this gentleman, you saw 72.
In your proposal earlier that you'd like it to be up to 70.
No, that I think so we're
dispensers?
Not dispensers, cars, perhaps cars. So we're looking at how many cars would be in front of a pump and then what's the queuing. The total is 72. So that's cars, not pumps. So this is our standard size for the Midwest, 4x4. It's slightly larger than the pumps in the station in Naperville, for example, and Plainfield. We are providing a nice queue of about 155 feet. We're going to be able to stack 40 cars in there. If down the road, down the future, if we feel that there's a need to expand, we can expand four additional pumps to the south there, and it meets the setbacks there. And we could also expand the queue a little bit further west. So we can expand it. We do have some real estate there. And our landscape plan's been designed to accommodate some future expansion. We don't think that's going to be necessary. We think that this gas station has been properly laid out, planned, and we're going to see some efficient movement through it, less idling, and less wait times that you may experience on other gas pumps throughout the area. Let's see, you talked about, I think that basically summarizes the site plan. We are asking for a special use authorization for the gas facility. I don't need to repeat myself, but that is a 4x4 layout, so there's 16 pumps or 32 dispensers with the ability to expand to a 5x4, 20 pumps or 40 dispensers. So that would be the max increase from what we're proposing to what we're what could be if we were to expand. So it's going from 16 to 40 pumps.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm going to have Risa, our architect, project architect, describe the building. Risa, I believe you're online.
Yeah, can everyone hear me?
Can hear you real well. Just state your name for the record, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, my name is Risa Yuki. It's spelled R-I-S-A. Last name is Yuki, Y-U-K-I. And as Larry mentioned, I'm in Seattle, Washington. So, okay, well, first, just thanks for letting me present tonight. And I just wanted to say thank you to the staff for collaborating with us on the building design that we're sharing today. So, the focus of our design is to prepare a modern, sustainable building design utilizing different materials, colors, and textures to help proportionately break up our large building mass. I wanted to start today with the material board because when we render our designs, we tend to render with a soft light and it kind of lightens the colors, so I wanted to share the truer colors. So starting from the kind of the left side of the material board, we have the vertical box rib panel, and that's in taupe, and it's shown framing the upper portion of the entry canopy. The next material over is the smooth base CMU block in dark umber, and this is utilized at the columns and then also at the building base. The next material is the architectural insulated panel in sandstone, so kind of a light buff color, and this is shown above behind the sign. And then all the trim work is shown in a medium bronze, and then off to the right is the signature Costco red and blue for the sign of the accent band. Okay. Let's flip to the next slide if we can. Okay, thanks. This is the building elevations. And actually, before I speak to the building elevations, I just wanted to just take a quick moment to just share a few points about the pre-engineered metal building. Just wanted to share that both the structure and the skin of the building is comprised of 80% recycled material, and the insulation is made up of over 50% recycled material. And in using these insulated panel systems, you know, we're able to gain a really great R value on the building, which then lowers our heating and cooling needs, which then lowers the overall energy consumption of the building. So I just want to share a few points on that. So to continue on to the elevations, we've grounded the building with the CMU base, and then to provide some horizontal articulation, we've raised the CMU underneath the sandstone architectural panel. Okay, and then I'm just going to kind of focus on the first two elevations, which is the south elevation on the top, and then the east elevation, because these are the two sides that face the parking lot. pardon me. So kind of starting from the left side of the south elevation, we have the recessed dock that's shown with the vertical box rib. Then we transition to the right, where we pop up the parapet here, and we're showing this in the architectural panel where the sign is. And then there's a piece where we transition over to the entry canopy on the right. And here we're proposing a three masonry column trellis element that's kind of at a pedestrian scale with a steel trellis above to help fill in that void and create a better transition to the entry canopy. On the east elevation, which is the next elevation down, this is the tire center side that Larry mentioned. And so what we did here was we reintroduced some of the same elements that we had at the entry canopy. So the lighter color panel above the doors, and then masonry columns between the doors with steel accent channels above the glass sectional doors. The next two elevations kind of follow suit, and with the upper two. And then what I also wanted to mention before we change slides is that during the EDC meeting that was held on the 7th, there was a comment related to the amount of masonry that was proposed on the south and east elevations. And so after that meeting, we revisited that, revisited the elevations, and we agreed that adding masonry would improve the design and better ground the base. So we did raise the CMU along the base on the south and east elevation to 4 feet. And that's identified by, if you look at the elevations, there's a little dashed, a black dashed line, and the highlighted text that's kind of pointing to the areas where we did indeed raise the masonry. maybe if you could switch to the next slide. Sorry, I just put in a few slides here that show some perspectives of the building, a little bit more realistic views. So this is the entry, as Larry mentioned, the focal point of the building. And then the next slide is the Tire Center slide, so you can see just how the articulation works across the building. And then the next slide is, this is where you can see the three column trellis element kind of towards the back, right? Yeah, right there. And then the last slide is the fuel elevations. And essentially what we're trying to do here is just take cues from the building where we brought in the box rib at the fascia, trimmed it with the bronze, and then introduced the masonry columns, the full height masonry columns. I think that's, okay. Larry, did you want me to talk about the floor plan?
Sure, so yeah, just a couple of thoughts about the floor plan.
Okay, I just wanted to share that. So as Larry mentioned, the entrance is at the bottom right corner. I think everyone who's familiar, if you're familiar with shopping at Costco, there's only one entry and exit point, which is there. The bottom left-hand side is the loading dock, so I just wanted to share where the dock is recessed back, you know, to the building to help kind of screen that and protect that. And then, as you can see, Costco has you're familiar with it, they have a super efficient floor plan design. Therefore, it's really not able to flex the building walls, and everything is super neat. And then, you know, you've got your typical Tire Center office and all the fresh line that that we see in a typical Costco. So this will be the newest prototype design.
Great, thanks, Risa. Amanda, our landscape architect, is on the line, and she will give a quick presentation on the landscaping. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm Amanda McVey, landscape architect with Kinley Horn. First, I just want to mention, you know, as a landscape architect, I really appreciate working with Costco. They take really great pride and care in their landscape plans and, you know, how it gets installed and maintained. The contractors they partner with, in my experience over the last few years, have done a really great job on sites, and we're very happy with, you know, how things turn out and how they look at time of opening and as they are matured and sustained over time. I know we're limited on time, so I just wanted to touch on a few items. I just have the one slide. So in talking about the parkway, we intend to provide parkway trees along East Countryside Parkway and McHugh. Spacing per code and species per Yorkville Parkway tree list. They're not entirely reflected here, but that is our intention to provide that per code. The spacing obviously will take into account the utilities in those areas, light poles, things like that. And then we are providing parking area perimeter landscaping along East Countryside Parkway above the code minimum amount. The plantings around that parking perimeter area will include a mixture of large and medium shrubs, grasses, and perennials. Along the queue, we're providing additional trees in the perimeter space and some landscape beds that are above the code requirement. And those will do a great job to enhance the entry experience and to assist in screening along the fuel and the west sides of the site. We took advantage of the space we kind of have in those areas to plant nice arrangements of trees to allow them to grow to their full maturity. Moving to the north area of the site, the detention basin, that will be planted with an Illinois local seed supplier dry bottom detention basin mix. And we will obviously work with our civil team to ensure the correct mix is chosen for the drainage conditions. We also will provide trees clustered around the pond to create some habitat areas and visual interest, trying to focus on that prominent corner and the views from there when you're at that intersection. For foundation landscapes, so moving like closer to around the building, we have asked for the deviation on the location of those plantings. However, we are able to provide above the total code required square foot amount with the plants, but we just have them concentrated more to the front of the building and along the west side, which we believe will help screen loading area. The architects also have incorporated that metal trellis that Risa mentioned in the landscape area, and so that'll add a lot of interest to the facade along with our landscaping. For the interior of the site, All the parking lot islands will be planted with trees and shrubs, and will have rock mulch. Our intention is to have minimal traditional lawn areas in the parking area, so that's our goal. That kind of high level gives you a few snapshots into the different areas, but overall, we're very focused on planting this site with native species and making sure that we have a diversity in all categories. We intend to meet all the diversity requirements that are in the code and try to exceed those. We are using a mix of traditional turf sod on this site to ensure the site looks put together day one, but also in some areas we are using a Nomo turf seed, so that'll reduce the amount of traditional turf and maintenance over time. I believe that's all the high-level items I wanted to touch on. We're overall really happy with the direction of the landscape plans, and we have been working with staff and the city reviewer, so as we move forward, we look forward to continuing that relationship. I'm here for any questions. I'll hand it back to you, Larry. Hopefully that was short and sweet.
It was perfect. Thanks, Amanda.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Thank you, guys.
So our last request tonight is the final plat of subdivision. And I don't want to repeat myself, but it is a three-lot subdivision. All public utilities will be placed in the easement. And we would be happy to answer any questions at that time. This basically concludes our presentation. And we have the full team to at your disposal.
Bart, did you have anything? Thank you.
Good enough.
Questions from the council? Ken?
So the trail system will stay in place. There's a pedestrian trail, right?
That's correct. Along 34.
34?
Yes, it will. Yes,
okay,
it will.
So you're on the other side of that.
That's right. Okay. And I failed to mention in the site plan that we are providing a connection from the front of the building through our parking lot to that trail system.
Any other questions, Ken?
No.
Other questions? Chris?
Comments were made about the traffic. Going through the traffic study, the LOS for a few of the intersections, RDs and apps in the ultimate build. Some of that, I believe, would be controlled by IDOT as they interconnect with that. Are we requiring improvements or changes to the timings or anything to mitigate some of those impacts?
I believe Costco has proposed mitigation, so I believe their traffic engineers here could speak to that.
Peter? Can we make sure we speak into the microphone,
sorry,
please? No, both of you, thank you.
Good evening, my name is Peter Reinhofer with V3 Companies in Woodridge. So we did do the traffic study. We did have a couple impacts at the intersection of US 34 and Countryside. We did propose some retiming to mitigate the impacts that we have. We did have to, our mitigation is basically shifting some of the green time that's currently provided to US 34 through movement and shifting that to the Countryside approach movement to mitigate some of those higher delays. Our original plan had the full access at driveway 4, which is one that aligns with Tumont and US 34. Mm-hmm. Most of that delay occurred because of the left out movement, so we removed that, updated our study, recently that city as well as IDOT as a right in, right out, left in. We do have some delays, I believe, for the left in during the for one of the peak hours, but we anticipate that throughout the rest of the day, throughout the rest of the week, the driver should operate adequately. We are in the process of working with IDOT on that proposed retiming at Countryside 34.
And so IDOT is generally accepting of the timing changes with no physical changes to the actual.
Correct. Well, so far, yes. We submitted the report. They had comments. They were geared primarily towards the driveway for the full access along 34. We resubmitted that as the right in, right up, left in driveway. They did not provide any comments on our proposed mitigation. So that's for the signal timing.
Thank you.
I'm just follow up on that. What did you say was looking to be done at McHugh and 34? Anything?
No, I don't believe we're proposing anything there. The traffic analysis shows that the intersection does operate adequately. I knew there was a comment about the pedestrian crossings. I know when the path got installed along 34 that there were pedestrian crossings provided at that intersection. Since it is not a controlled intersection, I would assume that the signal timing, for the pedestrian timing, does accommodate a pedestrian when they activate the push button to provide adequate clearance time, or walk time for a pedestrian to clear the roadway. That is something that we can look at to verify that with the IOT signal timings.
Were there any turn lanes suggested at that intersection?
Not at the MQ34 intersection. We're proposing it at the partial access driveway on 34. We're proposing a new eastbound left turn lane to be constructed within the existing median, and a new westbound right turn lane at the southern driveway along the queue that is near the gas station. We're proposing a northbound right turn lane at the driveway along Countryside that aligns with Crimson. There's an existing left turn lane. We're proposing to restripe that left turn lane. And then at the middle driveway along Countryside, that's proposing to be full access. We're proposing to construct a left turn lane within the existing region there also.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
I had one more comment. It is about the architecture. I know you guys made a change after the comment that I brought up in the EDC committee. You made a change when you were at the PCC. You acknowledged that you were increasing the amount of masonry, which was a 2% increase on the two front facades. That gets it up to, I think it was 32% from the 50% for the front facades. I would still like to see that increased a little bit. I understand you guys gave a cost analysis of what that could be potentially for that 1-2% increase, but looking at some of the other architecture of the other products around, and I know you mentioned it, you know, the color palette that originally was provided was a little bland. You guys tweaked that a little bit. You increased the contrast and the aesthetics of that, which is appreciated. But I still feel that with our requirement being 50%, that there's a little room that could improve the front facade, even if it is just at the actual entrance, extending the columns up, changing some of the CMU block to the actual masonry brick or some sort. But I think that's my request right now, is for us to consider a slight modification to the masonry to increase that. And maybe it's 40%, that gets us a little bit more to where I'd be comfortable with that front entry and the areas that you have the masonry currently.
Steve, did you want to address some additional masonry? I'll let Steve Cross handle that question.
So we appreciate the acknowledgement of the changes that we did. And as you mentioned, they did bring it up on the south facade. It came up about 2% of the masonry. And then on the east, it was 4%, which gives you about a 1.2 when you look at the 1.2% increase when you look at the overall building. And as Reese or Larry said, I mean, it comes down to what we're looking at as a kind of the corporate culture building, as well as the sustainability of the actual building itself. But we're more than happy take a closer look at it as we finish the final designs with staff. If we can tweak it a little bit more, we can certainly take a closer look at that as we go through the building permit applications.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Okay, we need three motions. Do we have one yet or not?
No.
Okay, they will be separate. First motion, and I'm looking for approval of an ordinance to amend a plan unit development for Yorkville Crossing for the Costco Wholesale Corporation.
Moved.
Second.
Koch, Merrick, any discussion on this one? Roll call.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next, looking for a motion to approve an ordinance for a special use permit allowing the operation of a gas service station on certain territory located at the southeast corner of East Countryside Parkway and McHugh Road for a Costco Wholesale Corporation.
Second.
Plocher, Transier, any discussion on this? Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And finally, I'm looking for a motion to approve an ordinance for the final plat of subdivision for the Costco Wholesale Corporation.
So moved.
Second.
Drulis Koch, discussion on this? Roll call.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, we will have the sales tax revenue sharing agreement, hopefully the next meeting, correct, Bart?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all for your presentation, appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, wait, you can stick around for the rest of the meeting.
Only if you can say Larry's last name correctly.
McZerdzik or something like that.
I don't know if there's an M.
What's that?
I don't know if there's the M.
Yeah, that's right, it's the Mick. Okay, city council report. City clerk report.
No report.
Community and liaison reports. Staff report.
No reports.
Mayor's report continued. Public Works and Park Department facility update, anything?
I don't have any report on that.
And Lake Michigan Water, did you want to add anything on that?
Yeah, briefly, I know that there was a memo put out by the federal government overnight that had frozen some discretionary loans and grants. We were able to confirm mid-morning that both our WIFIA loans and our IEPA low-interest loans are federally backed and were in jeopardy, at least according to the executive order. You know, a lot of things are in flux. EPA staff weren't able to confirm actual impact. Federal lobbyists and I have read the OMB memo that kind of dictates what the federal government is looking for when they're trying to review these loans and grants. You know, there is definitely a possibility that there could be a temporary freeze to these things. The original proposal was that information was due from the EPA to the executive branch by, I think, February 7th, with the anticipation that there'd be answers given by mid-March. I don't think that would impact our timeline if it were to go through, given that we're not proposing to close on the WIFIA loan until September, but obviously we're on top of that, and we'll continue to monitor it. In addition to, apparently there was a federal court that froze everything temporarily today at about 4 p.m., so a lot of things in flux, but we'll continue to monitor it and provide updates as possible.
Any questions? Thank you. Additional business? Any further citizen comments?
One more briefly.
Got to make up for lost meeting there, Mike.
Mike Kremsky, so I'll make this real brief. Again, something came up about Consume, which was the pot shop or marijuana shop. Again, and as you know previously, this room was packed the last time they attempted to come into the city. A lot of it had to do with where the particular location, but I would ask that this board consider the location currently being proposed next to the Jewel and how that will impact the community. I don't think it's an appropriate location, so I just ask that you look at it from the view of the residents near there and the entire community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Citizen comments? Okay, next, so for those of you who don't want to stick around, we have nothing after our executive session other than adjournment. There'll be no action. For those of you who do want to stick around, we will have an executive session, and you can all wait patiently here until you want to see our smiling faces. Nonetheless, I'm looking for a motion to go on executive session for litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending. In which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded under the minutes of the closed meeting.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Sorry.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yeah.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yeah.
Cornelius?
Abstain.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Nay.
Motion carries.
Okay. Still carries. Rusty, thank you. Okay.
Is
there anyone out there? Okay. Funkhauser, who was it? Koch, second. All in favor?
Aye.